How concerned are you about violent video games? Do you think, do you fear it leads to more violence in society outside the gaming room? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, September 3rd. There has been a long-standing debate over whether violent video games foster violence or foster aggressive behavior. Now the American Psychological Association, the APA, says its latest study confirms a link between violent video games and aggressive behavior. A member of the APA Task Force on Violent Media will share the report's findings and recommendations and will welcome your questions and your concerns, maybe your experiences. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Sherry Hamby, research professor in the Department of Psychology and director of the Life Pass Research Programs at Suwannee, the University of the South in Tennessee. She is also founding editor of the American Psychological Association's journal, Psychology of Violence, and a member of the APA Task Force on Violent Media that produced this report. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell us what the report found.
So basically, the report did find what you just described, that we reviewed the more recent research on violent video games and aggressive behavior, and it confirmed that there is a stable link between playing violent video games and aggressive behavior, although we did also find that there's just not sufficient research at this point in time to determine definitively if there's a link between some of the more extreme forms of violence, like the serial shooting sprees and things like that, that sometimes get attention in the media.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify that aggressive behavior does not necessarily mean mass shooter.
That's right, because even though obviously that is a far too common phenomenon, and it seems like every day we're hearing about another episode in the news sometimes, it's still not common enough that it's easy to study with this type of research and really look at a definitive link between that type of behavior and playing violent video games.
Yeah, what is meant by aggressive behavior?
So most of the studies here have a range of aggressive behaviors. Some of them are behavioral studies that look at kids' behavior in school settings, so it's more bullying and peer aggression and the more the type of common forms of aggression that are easier to do research studies with on children. Some of them are laboratory proxies for aggression, so you can't actually have people punch each other in the laboratory, so they devise ways of trying to look at intentions to act aggressively in labs, and there's also been a number of MRI studies at this point that also don't look directly at aggressive behavior, but they do look at whether or not playing violent video games lights up the parts of the brain that we know are associated with aggressive behavior.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more on how your report was put together, how your study was conducted, what studies did you review over what period of time and such?
So there had already been 4 meta-analyses. These are statistical reviews that look at patterns across studies that covered the data up until 2009. And what the benefit of doing this type of statistical review is that sometimes a study could get a result that maybe looks like there's not a link, for example, but just like when you're flipping a coin over and over, you're going to always get a range of results. And so one study that doesn't show a link is not necessarily convincing when you average it in across all of the studies if they consistently show a link most of the time in the majority of studies. And so that's what the purpose of these statistical reviews are. The ones that had already been done, all 4 of them did find a statistically significant link between violent video games and aggressive behavior, but they only went through the literature in 2009, up until 2009. So what we did is we brought that review more up to date in order to update APA's policy, and we reviewed the literature on the newer literature up through 2013.
Yeah. Critics, including some other researchers at other universities, have accused the American Psychological Association of bias, saying that the APA, quote, has it in for video games and the industry. What's your reaction to that?
I think that is, they're just taking a page from the tobacco lobby playbook. I think that they are, that many of these critics themselves are very publicly invested in their positions about links or the lack of a link between the video games. So three of the former meta-analyses were conducted by Chris Ferguson, who is one of the main critics of the APA report. And in all three of his own statistical reviews, he found a significant link between violent video games and aggression, and yet he still denies that there is a link. But the APA took tremendous pains to make sure that we had a team of people who had not really invested a lot professionally or had any kind of financial stake in the review process. And so for myself, as editor of Psychology of Violence, for example, I'm the one that published one of the papers that they have been mentioning in their critiques a lot by Paul Adachi and Tina Willoughby. And then after that article came out, I invited Tina Willoughby to guest edit a special issue of my journal on technology and violence, which appeared in 2013. And just in the next issue that will be out next month in October, and what you can already see in online first on the journal website, is we are publishing another paper from that group that questions the link. And so we are totally open to looking at science that finds results in both directions, but that doesn't mean that we can't also look at the data and see that over literally almost 200 studies that there has been a consistent statistical link found.
Yeah. Yeah, and let me push a little further on what this link actually means. Does this mean that, for example, kids who are maybe aggressive to begin with are attracted to video games, or does it mean the video games cause the child to become aggressive?
Well, so that is part of what's difficult to tease out. So part of the challenge, and it's very much, I think it really makes a terrific metaphor to think about the problem with looking at the link between smoking and lung cancer, because we have the same problem when we try to study violence scientifically. So we can't take a group of kids and randomly assign half of them to get strapped to video consoles and forced to play violent video games for hours and hours and then see if those kids turn into serial killers more often than the other group of children. And so that is one of the reasons why, I mean, we're never going to do a study like that. So, but just like with the link between smoking and lung cancer, that doesn't mean that we can't study it scientifically. And so I was actually really impressed with the variety of ways that scientists in this field, because this is not my main field of research, had come up with to try to explore that link, given the fact that we are obviously never going to intentionally do that to a group of children. And there really are a wide range of methodologies, and many of them are specifically designed to address the question that you just asked, to tease out, which came first. Is it aggressive kids who are being drawn to these video games? There is a certain extent to which that is true, but you can approach this issue in a lot of other ways that will help you tease out the fact that that is not the main direction of effect.
Yeah. We have just a minute before we take a news break, and then we have much more time to talk about the report and its recommendations. But what is the takeaway? What does the APA think we should do about this?
Well, I am a mother myself, and I have a 12-year-old son who is a huge, huge fan of video games. And so I think a lot of our takeaway is for parents and also for psychologists and teachers and pediatricians and others who work with children, that they should know that there are some troubling findings here and that they should really be thoughtful and give some serious consideration to how much exposure to violent video games children should, and adolescents and young adults should really have. And we are hoping also that the video game industry will take more initiative in accurately rating these video games and pulling out specific information about violence, which right now kind of tends to get jumbled up with other, you know, quote-unquote mature content, so like drug use or sexuality or things like that. And so we really want them to provide specific information on the violent content.
We will talk more about this report on violent video games and its link to aggressive behavior. Well, do you think video games are too violent? Do you think that the video game rating system is adequate? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234. We'll talk more after the news. Should the video game industry be more strictly regulated or have better ratings? What about parents? Do parents need to be more careful with the video games that their children play? We are talking about video game violence and the link to aggressive behavior, according to a new report. We are talking about the American Psychological Association's Task Force on Violent Media report and its recommendations. And we are welcoming your questions and your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So do you play these video games? Do you let your children play these violent video games? Do you think there's anything to be worried about? Let us know as we talk with our guest, Sherry Hamby, who is a research professor in the Department of Psychology and director of the Life Pass Research Program at Sewanee, the University of the South in Tennessee. She was a member of the American Psychological Association task force that produced this report on the link between playing violent video games and aggression. And before we go to the phones, I wanted to ask you, Sherry Hamby, just a little bit about who plays video games in the United States. How many people play these, and maybe I should say the violent video games. Do we know?
Well, almost all children and young adults, you know, of school age and college age play video games. We don't have as good of statistics on whether they're specifically playing violent video games, but, you know, more than 90% of the population has at least some experience playing video games at this point in time. And they are becoming a normative experience. You know, as a mother myself, you know, these are things that I wrestle with a lot, and we don't let our son play violent video games, but even some of the ones that are quote unquote not violent have levels that, you know, still have some aggressive content, and you know, we really wrestle as parents with what's the proper balance for children.
Yeah, and I'm not a parent, and I have little exposure to especially violent video games. I've heard about them through news coverage, and some of them sound horrific. But can you tell us what do we mean by violence in video games? What sorts of scenarios are taking place?
Yes, so you know, there are games in things like Grand Theft Auto where the purpose of the game is to take on the role of the criminal. There are points that you can get for all kinds of criminal perpetration behavior, including sexual assault. There are a whole range of games like Call of Duty and other games like that are basically war or fighting scenarios, and even in some of the games that might not be considered truly violent, you know, there's quite a lot of fighting and competition that it can be pretty intense. They did prepare some clips for us as part of serving on this task force report, and I have to say I was really shocked by how graphic some of the content is, which is blood squirting everywhere and decapitations. And I mean, it's really very violent.
Yeah, and these games, though, I did have the experience of trying to purchase a video game for a nephew who was a minor. He was like, I don't know, he's 17 or something like that. And I did have his father's permission to get this for his son. And they had it kind of behind, behind a closed door. And I had to be an adult to buy it even. Tell us how strictly regulated it is. Can a kid really get one of these really violent games on his or her own?
It is not in practice that difficult for most people to access this content. And part of what is happening, too, as the technology shifts, is that more and more of it is available online. So you don't even necessarily have to have, like, a physical card for a machine anymore, which it was more typical even just a few years ago. So the access is really pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. But there is a rating system that says, hey, this game is for adults only or for mature audiences only. Is that how it works?
There is a voluntary rating system, but it's not, you know, just like with the movies, you know, sometimes when you look at something and like, why is this PG-13 and why is this R, the reasons why some games get one rating and some games get another are not as clear-cut as they could be, and especially it is just really important, we think, that they need to separate out the violent content from other types of mature content and make sure that that's clearly labeled so that the question that you just asked about what sorts of violence, I mean, when, you know, a parent is sort of envisioning the types of violence, I suspect that many parents are not envisioning the level of extreme violence that is common in some of these games.
Yeah, so it would say something like extreme graphic violence is in this video game rather than just M for mature audiences.
I think it needs to say something like, you know, encourages players to decapitate other players, encourages players to sexually assault other players. I mean, I think it needs to be very specific.
Let's go to the phones. Chris in Wisconsin Rapids is with us. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Dre. Thanks for letting me sort of be on. Just wanted to put it out there, just like all forms of media, especially, you know, you guys brought up movies just a little while ago. I personally have been a gamer all my life, and I've worked in the retail world, and I always sort of took it upon myself to make sure to educate parents. I'd see the parent or, you know, relative come in that didn't really understand what a video game might be about, and I talked to people, you know, out of buying certain games for certain age groups. That was always my first question, is how old are they? And then with my mother-in-law and my two young brothers-in-law, they've got lots of friends. They're 12 going on 13 now, but since I've known them for the past four years, I've been hearing of their friends playing Call of Duty, and I just chalk that up to parents not doing their research and really digging in. And with all the resources that are on the internet, just a quick YouTube search can give you hours and hours of review footage, game footage. There's tons of information out there, and when it's marked M for mature, they usually do have a small list of types of things to expect. They aren't as detailed as they probably should be for some parents, but, you know, for what my mom did for me, you know, just monitoring what I was playing, you know, granted the, you know, but I mean, that was back in the day of Days of Mortal Kombat, stuff like that. She always had an eye on what I was playing and, you know, kind of tried to filter that, just like movies or any type of TV or any sort of media.
Yes. So, Chris, you think parents just need to step up and do more, and that's good enough?
That's what I really feel, because it and, you know, if you play games online, you're always, and they have the online chat, you know, where you can hear people's voices, other players' voices. You always hear just little kids, and some of these games that, you know, adults are playing and that are meant for adults, as marked by the boxes, you know, it's just shocking, some of the things you hear kids saying. It's like, where is the kid's parent?
Yeah, so the parents have to do way more, Sherry.
Well, Chris, I think it is terrific that you took the initiative to really talk to customers and find out what age children they are purchasing for. Unfortunately, I think that there are lots of places that sell violent video games that do not have staff that are taking that kind of initiative. And of course, we do want parents to be actively involved in this process, but we do also think that there is a real public health role here too. And parents have a range of experience with computers themselves and a range of understanding about violent video games. Not all of them are going to have a lot of experience with video games, and so we do think it's really important that that information be easier to access and that there be protocols that take children's safety into better consideration.
We are talking about violent video games and the new research, the new report that finds a link between violent video games and aggression and what we should do about this. We are talking with a guest who is a member of the American Psychological Association's Task Force on Violent Media that produced this report. And we're welcoming your questions, your concerns, your experiences. Do you think that more needs to be done to keep violent video games out of the hands of children in particular? What about young adults? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Sherry Hamby. She is a research professor in the Department of Psychology and director of the Life Pass Research Program at Sewanee, the University of the South in Tennessee. Let's go next to Chris in Columbus. Hi, Chris.
Hi, I'm just thinking that the video game is the current outlet for aggressive behavior, and we've seen it in our societies throughout history where, going back to the Roman times, I personally do not allow it in my home. I prefer to let sports, football, and hunting sports, outdoor sports, be the that outlet for my children, but that just seems to be where it's at as far as human culture is.
Yeah. So, well, that brings up a couple of different points. A reaction, Sherry Hamby?
Sure. I think that the issue with violent video games is that it is really a matter of practice makes perfect, more so than it is that this is some sort of outlet or blowing off of steam. And there's really, I mean, I think it's terrific that you kids are involved in sports and hunting. Those are so different from violent video gameplay in lots of important ways. There's besides the real life interaction, there's the teamwork and the camaraderie, but there's also that there's clear limits on what are acceptable behaviors, and there's not that sort of anything goes mentality that a lot of these violent video games are kind of intentionally setting up in these fantasy universes. And I think that is what is the difference. So when you're participating in sports or in hunting, you are also perhaps doing things that have relationships to aggressive behavior against humans, but you are also teaching a lot of controls and a lot of self-discipline and a lot of self-regulation, and that is really key to inhibiting aggressive behavior, not encouraging it, and that's what's missing from violent video games.
James on Facebook writes, I like violent, gritty games, and I have no desire to go out and slaughter people in the real world. So what do you say to James?
That is a terrific point, too. We get asked about that a lot. So human behavior is really complicated. Nobody is suggesting, not anybody on the task force or anyone in the field, that violent video games are the only cause of aggressive behavior. And so there are always things that are sort of nudging each and every one of us to be more aggressive or less aggressive. Everybody experiences anger and frustration, but most of us also have, empathy and self-control and other things that are helping to inhibit our aggressive behavior. And so there's certainly lots and lots of people who play violent video games who are not aggressive and certainly not criminals, but that doesn't mean that on average it's not sort of nudging people more into the aggressive end of the spectrum.
Well, now, James is not a is not a child. I don't know exactly how old James is, but he's let's say he's a young adult. Should anybody over the age of 18 be able to, you know, buy whatever they want, or do you think something should be done to keep these games out of the hands of young adults?
Well, we are definitely not suggesting any form of censorship for. Well, that's not the direction that we are looking to go in at all. And I am a very strong advocate of First Amendment rights. And so I don't think that we need to look at those kinds of restrictions. We really want to take a public health approach to this, the same way that we would to alcohol use, for example, would make a terrific parallel. So, you know, we let adults over the age of 21 have, you know, relatively unrestricted access to alcohol. There are some restrictions on driving or things where they might be putting other people in danger. But we also have protections for children. Children can't access alcohol. And we even have protections about advertising alcoholic products to children or trying to indoctrinate them into drinking culture when they are, you know, 13, 14, and 15. And obviously we don't fully successfully do that. But I think that public health approach would be more what we would be thinking about for violent video games.
Yeah. So, but a legal age of 21 before you can buy a violent video game, not 18.
Well, I think we would probably just stick with 18. And
Okay. John in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, John.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I just kind of wanted to comment. You know, we've had media of all forms around us for a very long time, and specifically in America, we have lots of different violent types of media around us. You can go on social network, you can go watch the news, and also, I mean, even in movies, I mean, it's much easier to get a easier rating on a movie that's extremely violent than it is for a movie that may have no violence whatsoever but has the smallest bit of sexual content. And I also think that at the end of the day, with any form of media like that, it comes down to the parents. The parents are the gatekeepers. And sure, you may not be able to be there all the time. You may not be able to catch every single thing. You know, your child might go over to a friend's house that has this violent video game. But guess what? At the end of the day, you're the one setting the tone. And I totally agree that, you know, there's definitely violence out there. But to say that we need some major regulation over this when we already have things in place, I guess I'm just saying the system isn't broke. We just need better enforcement, and that enforcement comes from the parents. At the end of the day, it's the parents, the parents, the parents.
Sherry Hamby?
Well, parents definitely have a key role to play in that, but I also think that communities have roles to play to help support environments where it is safe for children. And so I don't think that we need to leave parents, you know, out there by themselves trying to face the onslaught of the advertising and the marketing and everything else without any kind of support from the broader communities in which they live. But I also want to raise the issue about violent video games versus other type of media. And so that's something that's still really evolving in terms of our understanding of it. But there are some differences in terms of, again, that sort of practice and rehearsal and actually, you know, having the immersive experience of engaging in violent behavior versus just seeing it. And that's the thought that that's one of the differences between the impact of violent video games compared to other types of media.
Do violent video games foster aggressive behavior in their players? Our guest says yes. That's what the latest research shows. We are talking with a guest from the American Psychological Association's Task Force on Violent Media, which recently released a report on the link between playing violent video games and aggression. We are talking about why this is and what we should do about it. And we wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Sherry Hamby. She is a research professor in the Department of Psychology at Sewanee, the University of the South in Tennessee. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about video game violence and aggression and talking with our guest about what the industry should do and what parents should do, and welcoming your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Sherry Hamby was a member of the American Psychological Association Task Force on Violent Media that recently produced this report on the link between playing violent video games and aggression. Jenny on Facebook writes, is there a correlation between aggression and video games in general, not just the violent ones? Video game addiction can also cause aggression in some children, she says. What do you say, Sherry Hamby?
That's a terrific question. There is some increasing research on other effects of violent video games, and one of the studies I mentioned earlier, the Adachi and Willoughby study, suggested that any games with a heavily competitive content can increase aggressive behavior. It may not be specifically violent content. There's also some concerns these days, with the way that it creates this sort of unrealistically stimulating and rewarding environment. And, you know, with my own son, we don't let him play violent video games, but even with the other types of video games, I see him get kind of jazzed up from playing on violent video games, and it feels like there's almost this re-entry period when he comes back into real life, and we've been concerned about that and limit his playing time. And I do think that as we explore this issue more, that we are going to find other types of effects that are potentially concerning as well.
Interesting. I read a piece from a gamer who said that he was admitting to feeling differently after playing violent video games in particular. Just is like he could feel its effects on his brain. Do we know what are some of the known psychological effects of playing violent video games?
Well, there is some research. This was not specifically addressed in our report, but there is some research on how gaming is, it's a reward system, basically. You score these points, and then so it works like other types of rewards, that it can release dopamine, and in that way it can have an effect even like some other types of chemicals and illegal drugs and things like that. And so it can create something that does have some parallels to systems of addiction. And I think that the research on this is really new and still exploratory, and we're not ready to write an official policy about it, but it does totally map onto what I see with my son. Another area of concern that would have to do with video games more generally is that the blue light of, maybe you've heard about this regarding like sleep disturbances and insomnia, but that can really dysregulate kids too in ways that create problems if they are playing these into the evening, especially more so than the screen of a television, that these blue lights kind of interrupt your diurnal rhythms and make it hard for you to have a proper sleep cycle, and that can also be dysregulating.
Yeah. Let's go to Paul in Racine next. Hello, Paul.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
What is your thought?
I was calling, and I think it's kind of a bigger issue. You know, I think we want to make everything kind of simple in some sense, and I value the fact that you've done your research and go through the psychology. I also would like to hope to believe that we're doing this out of the genuine kindness of taking care of our children and taking care of our society. And in some ways, I'm echoing some statements before, but your comment about community being able to help parents, I think in some ways is maybe the other way around. In other words, we see a lot of issues with violence today. And if we were able to bring parents out of that genuine concern for their children to be able to guide and direct them in life, I think that would do a lot of things in terms of how our community functions, because our community functions as a display of what parents do with their kids. Mm-hmm. And
Yeah, you know, Paul, and we have other callers, too, that want to say, you know, again, parents need to do more. But what about parents who are working their three jobs and they can't monitor 24/7? Do we just say, you know, they're bad and leave it at that? Or can more be done to help them?
No, I think more can be done. And I can tell you that I work quite a few jobs, and I do that because I value that my wife can stay home with my children. And I'm not saying that it has to be that way, but I am saying that if we bring our children up and teach them the proper things in life, and they're going to make mistakes, we all do. But I think reality is that community will change, and then the availability of games and violence and things like that will slowly diminish if we have, as a community of families, actually say no to these things that are actually being produced.
Yeah. Sherry Hamby.
Well, I absolutely agree that it's a two-way street, that communities can raise up parents, but parents absolutely can help raise up communities, too, and they are, you know, we're all part of those community systems and can do more to lift them up. But it's really important to remember both places have a role, and parents shouldn't feel isolated or alone, or that they're the only ones out there that are trying to push back against these broader social forces. I also agree totally with what you said about taking a more strengths-based approach, and that's where my own focus is on learning how to help families be stronger and more resilient. And so a lot of what I think will be part of the solution in the long run is learning how to help families be stronger, and then perhaps they will turn away from more easily from some of these other forces.
Thank you, Paul. I do appreciate the call. I just know that we're getting a lot of callers who are saying parents need to do more. What is the role, according to the APA Task Force and its resolution on violent video games, but let's talk a little bit more about the recommendations. What is the role of government in regulating violent video games?
Well, at this point in time, we didn't have any specific calls for new government regulations. But we do think that government has a key role to play in terms of supporting more research on this effort and supporting task forces or initiatives in communities that could help have education campaigns for parents, that this is something, for example, that the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, could help with, you know, taking a public health approach out to the communities and get them on the ground where parents can access this information. And that's mostly what we would like to see the government role be.
Yeah, and you want the APA to use this information to have continue education and awareness campaigns.
Yeah, so as the APA task force, the reason that all of us volunteered our time for this is that we really feel that, you know, it can't be a burden on every single individual parent to do what we did and read, you know, dozens and dozens of studies and then try to put them all together and figure out, you know, what that big picture is. So we're hoping that the task force report will be helpful to people who are looking for, you know, an overall picture of where the science is and what the main take-home messages are now, and that's something that can be easily accessed not only by parents but also by pediatricians and teachers and psychologists and any other professional who works with children.
Yeah, and so what should communities do or you know, schools? Should they be involved in this effort?
Schools, I think they're a great conduit for getting information to parents, and that you can send information home to parents. I think that it is good to educate teachers about the potential effects of violent video games, and that if they see problem behavior in a child, that asking about what types of violent video games they're playing should become a standard part of the assessment that they're doing in schools when they have children who are showing problematic behavior. And I also think that schools have a role to play with the sort of social and emotional learning that the previous caller was talking about, and helping children become stronger in dealing with these influences that they might get exposed to. As he said, you might go over to some other parent's house and you can't have 24-hour control as a parent, and so helping your kids be able to rebuff those influences.
And what responsibility do the video game developers or sellers bear?
Well, I think that they bear a tremendous amount of responsibility, just the same as the tobacco industry or the alcohol industry does, to make sure that they are not marketing inappropriately to children and adolescents products that are really intended for adults, that they are appropriately labeling the potential harms that can come from their products, and that, you know, that, well, those would probably be like the two key recommendations I would have for them.
Yeah, and I was just going to go to our last caller, who was going to argue that people all over the world play video games, yet rates of violence are much higher in the U.S., and wondering how we can explain that difference.
Yes, well, so that's part of that whole complicated human behavior, and so there are other forces that either can promote violence or inhibit violence, and there are some countries that do a better job than the United States does in creating environments which really help inhibit violence.
Yeah, and in our final minute, any advice for parents who are struggling to figure out what's best for their children when it comes to playing video games?
I can only tell them what my husband and I have done, is that the first, if you're trying to reduce your children's involvement in video games, the first few days are the toughest with trying to make changes in how much time they can play or what games they can play, but that, you know, kids will adapt to the new rules and to the new system and do all they can just to stay as best informed as they can about what's going on with the science.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Sherry Hamby, research professor in the Department of Psychology and director of Life Pass Research Program in Sewanee, the University of the South in Tennessee. Thanks to Marika Suval for producing this program. Thanks to Elizabeth Deliquest for on-air production. And thanks to Bill Martins for on-air direction. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. Tomorrow at this time, it's Tell Joy Where to Go for September. Gary Knowles will join us to talk about some interesting places and things going on this month in Wisconsin.